Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
God's discipline, one of his goals, and the first goal he brings up here, is that he does it for your profit, that you would truly be set apart. So maybe you're not set apart right now. If God's disciplining you, I imagine at this point in this study, you're evaluating yourself. I hope so. God wants you set apart.
We are studying the discipline of God, but wait, before you change the station or hit that stop button, we need to know that God's discipline for his children is grounded in his amazing love for us and his desire that we live our lives to the fullest for him and not get sidetracked or worse, taken down by the things of this world. With more on God's discipline and God's blessings, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with part two of our study out of Hebrews 12, 3 through 11.
Verse 9, Hebrews chapter 12 says, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed good to them, but he for our profit," God knows it's going to be better for you when you are disciplined over whatever he's disciplining you for, "but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness." Now, what is holiness? He's disciplining you for your profit and that you can partake of his holiness. So the word holiness is an interesting word. We often will use purity, holiness, righteousness, like in an interchangeable way, but they're all unique. So to be holy means to be set apart. When we say to God, when we sing to God, "only you are holy," there's no one like God. That's what we're saying. You are set apart. You are different. You are unique. You are holy. And when God says that we are sanctified, or we are saints, or that we are holy, God sets us apart so that we are no longer like this world. When we come to him, God's desire is that we would be holy. And sometimes we've been set apart positionally, but in our conduct, we haven't been. And so God disciplines us in order to bring profit into our lives and that we would truly be set apart. So the Bible says, "Come out from among them and be ye holy." Come out from among them and be ye separate. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are in this world, but we are not partakers of it. We are not living in this world. We are pilgrims here on this earth. We're passing through. That's the idea of being separate. So we're different. We're not like everybody else. We're different. And we're supposed to live differently. And so God's discipline, one of his goals, and the first goal he brings up here, is that he does it for your profit, that you would truly be set apart. So maybe you're not set apart right now. If God's disciplining you, I imagine at this point in this study, you're evaluating yourself. I hope so. I hope you're not just going, "another 11 minutes, we're out of here." You say that soon? Nah, probably not. I was just getting your hopes up. But God wants you set apart. He wants you different than this world. And God will discipline you to bring that about because he wants it. What else does God want to do? Psalms 94, 12. "Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law." Blessed is the man to whom you instruct. God wants to bless you. Now, God brings blessings into our lives, and God brings struggles into our lives. Job said it in Job chapter 1, I think verse 21, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I can honestly say that God wants to bless you, and he will bless you. I can honestly say also that God wants to test you and put you into struggles and difficulties and hardships. So I'm not saying that you're only going to have good things happen to you in Christ, because all kinds of things happen to us in Christ. But God is disciplining you so he can bless you. He instructs you because he wants to bless you. We find something else in John 15, verse 2. This is the pruning passage, right, for the vine. "I am the vine, you're the branches." OK, Okay? And he says in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. There's some controversy over that phrase, takes away. Some believe that in Greek it means lift up. It doesn't bear fruit, so God lifts up the branch, he ties it up. Like if you were walking down a vineyard, you found something not bearing fruit, you would tie it up, you would care for it to try to get the branch to bear fruit. Others say it's to take away. Read the whole thing. I think you might be able to determine what that is if you read it. But he says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. If it means that he actually cuts it off, it's not bearing fruit, it's just taking, you know, the water, the nutrients, It was a lie, Stephen, for those few of you who know what I'm talking about, right? Now let me get back into this. Hey, if you don't bear fruit, are you really attached to the vine? You say, well, this vine was. I understand the controversy, but I'm just asking. If you're not bearing fruit, that's the evidence that we've made a commitment. It's not the work that saves us, but it's the evidence that we've made it. And then he says, in every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, if the vine could speak, he'd be like, clippers would be coming in and be going, no, what are you doing? But God prunes us that we would bear fruit. That becomes evident here in a few moments. It's another reason that he brings up in this chapter of why God would discipline you. God wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to bear fruit. He wants people around us to be blessed. That's what the fruit is for. It's to bless the people around us. It is to, you know, fruit holds the seed. So it's for us to take our life in Christ and pass that on to others. That's what the fruit is for. It's to bless others. People are blessed by fruit on a fruit tree, and it's for other fruit trees to grow so that other people see Christ in us and they commit their lives to Christ. That's what the fruit is for. And so we come now to the fifth thing that it tells us, and that is he disciplines us so that we will respond. He wants us to respond to it, whatever it is. You find yourself sick and in bed, respond. Evaluate, ask him, search. I don't know what kind of things God may reveal to you. It may be that there are some things that you know. It might be that if God's disciplining you right now, you go, I know what it is. I'm not going to tell you, but I know what it is. So it says in verse 11, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. I told you that righteousness and holiness are often used interchangeably, but righteousness means that you have a right relationship with God. You're walking in righteousness and you are treating people around you right. If you're treating people around you poorly, then you're not walking in righteousness. If you have things right between you and God, and only you really know whether you really have things right between him and you right now, then that's righteousness. And then right with the people around us, which are the two things that God cares about the most. In fact, in that is all the law and the prophets, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor and yourself. And in this, we fulfill all of the law. So this is what we're to do, and this is what God wants to do. He wants to bring righteousness into our lives. Again, it's what God cares about the most to those who have been trained by it. The discipline of God trains us and brings that rightness with God and rightness with people, righteousness. Therefore, verse 12, here's what you need to do. Strengthen the hands which hang down. There's something about sin and consequences and the difficulty that you struggle with that just makes you weak. You just become weak and you become tired. And you just want to give up. And your hands are hanging down. It's like, strengthen them. Strengthen them in the Lord your God. Say, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to follow through with what I said. I'm going to live what I said. Strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And make straight paths for your feet. Walk where you're supposed to walk. Stop being all over the place. Walk where you're supposed to walk. Make straight paths for your feet. So that what is lame may not become dislocated. So he says, I'm doing this for you to bring righteousness and so that you'll strengthen your hands and your knees and walk straight. And that's happening so you don't become dislocated. In other words, the discipline of the Lord is going to become more severe. If you as a Christian continue to ignore it, it gets more severe and more severe and more severe. And maybe we finally come to those poor, unfortunate Christians in the book of Corinthians that lost their lives, that God took their lives because they just weren't listening. I told you this was a scary passage. A couple more thoughts before we finish. Psalms 119, 67. Psalms is a long book, 119. It's a long chapter, verse 67. David writes, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word." He recognized that it was the affliction of the Lord that caused him to turn from going astray, and now he keeps God's word. So praise God for his discipline. I'm not happy about it in my own life. I'm not happy about it in your life. I would that you and I would live our lives in such a way that God's discipline would be really light. You guys have several kids? I have three. One of them was always being disciplined. And one of them was barely ever disciplined. And when one will think that we were unfair to the others, the other two say that we were unfair to them because of them. But they were different. They're different adults too, but they were different. And so some of you, God just seemed to always discipline you. Poor thing. And some of you, God isn't. In Psalms 32, 9, it says, and I love this verse. "Do not be like the horse or the mule." The horse runs ahead of everybody, right? You guys take care of horses? You guys got horses? Anybody? They're like uppity. They're out of here. They don't want to wait for you. The mule, stubborn, right? Wants to lag behind. Don't run ahead of God. Be like a horse, which is me, by the way. Don't be like the mule, which is some of you guys. It says, which have no understanding. Are we just doing what we do and not understanding that God's disciplining us? Which must be harnessed with a bit and a bridle, else they will not come near to you. Why do you put a bit and a bridle in a horse's mouth? To keep it close to you. Why do you put a bit and a bridle on a mule? To get it to walk with you. And God says, I do these things because I want you with me. He doesn't say, don't be like the horse or the mule because I got stuff for you to do. He says, don't be like the horse or the mule. They got to put a bit and a bridle on them or they won't come near. God wants you to draw near to him. It's him that he wants you to draw near to. Now, I have one more thought, and this thought is in closing. This really is a passage that I think helps us, and it's good for all of us to evaluate it from time to time. But I love this as well because God has worked it this way in my life. And this is Romans 2:4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, his forbearance, his long-suffering? God not only disciplines, but God has goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering. When you just ignore that, it says, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance. I don't know when God does it. You know, I can't speak for God, right? But sometimes God goes, I'm not going to discipline you. I'm going to bless you. In the early days, we had awful chairs at the church. And we didn't have the money to be able to buy decent chairs for you guys to sit on. And I can't remember what happened. I think me and my wife got in a fight. We'd been married for, when we came out here, I don't know, three and a half years. We got in just a screamer. And when I got to church, I got a call from Roger Barrier. Roger Barrier is a little bit older than me. And he was here for a while. Casas Adobe's church had been here for a while. He was the pastor then. And he had kind of taken me, I was 25 years old, young pastor. And he kind of taken me under his wing. He met me and he said, let's have lunch every so often. And for about 10 years, we had lunch on a regular basis. So I get a message from him and he says, hey, we're getting new chairs and I know all these pews won't fit in your place, but you can have as many as you want. And I was blown away because we didn't have the money for the chairs and we needed them. And it was like, I just come from this fight with my wife, the screamer. And I literally said, not now, God. Can't you wait till I do something good? Does it have to be on a day when I'm feeling guilty, just guilt-ridden, when I'm feeling like anything but a pastor? And God goes, here you go. Here you go, son. And it just made me go, God, I don't want to be that guy. It was the goodness of God that brought repentance into my life. And sometimes God does that. Sometimes when there's something you should be disciplined for, God just says, I just want to bless you. And it's the goodness that brings about repentance. And I think that that reveals the heart of God in this whole matter of discipline. Yeah, there's going to be discipline, chastening, scourging. The words that are used, by the way, I didn't even point them out, are not good words. Okay, chastening, just look them up in the Greek. Chastening and scourging, these are not good words. They're tough words. But it's because God loves you and because he wants good in your life that he disciplines you. And it's a good thing when it happens, even though it's not pleasant, because it brings about what God wants to do in each one of our lives. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that you give us this passage and other passages that we looked at that helps us to understand the discipline that you bring into our lives. Thank you that you discipline us. Thank you that you work in our lives. Thank you that you don't let us just go astray. And if you do, then we haven't really made that commitment to you. And so, Lord, we pray that we would have the right heart, the right mind. We pray that we would be quick to respond to your discipline so that we don't keep getting disciplined. And if something's going on right now, help us just to evaluate where we are and to whether or not you're disciplining us, because you want to bring that discipline about in our lives. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a few moments. If you're here today and you have never been born again, you've never received Jesus as your Savior, or maybe you did a while back, but you walked away, and you need to make a recommitment today. You need to say, I'm all in. I'm ready to follow him wholeheartedly. Then I want to give you that opportunity. Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again or you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Someone told me one time, I'm a Christian, I'm not a born again Christian. Sorry, no such thing. You're either a born again Christian or you're not. You have to be born again or you can't see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said that which is born of the flesh is flesh and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You were born of the flesh and you must be born of the spirit. And your spirit has to come to life because the day is coming, Jesus said to the woman at the well, and is here now, by the way, today, that those who worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. There's an honesty about it and in spirit. And your spirit has to be brought to life, quickened to life, in order for that to happen. And you do that by receiving him. You do that by saying, I want you in my life. You give him an invitation. And this is very biblical, John 1:12. As many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God. And no one can do it for you. It's available to everyone here. Anyone here that doesn't know the Lord or walked away from his coming back, it's available for all of you. But you have to invite him in. And if you say, I don't want him, I want to live my life the way I want to live my life, well then, okay. He won't force his way into your life. He will not make you become a Christian. I find it kind of funny that at times there are those who believe God's going to force me. He's going to make me become a Christian. God's not going to make you become a Christian. You get up to heaven, you stay there. You choose you this day whom you will serve, the Bible says. Choose life and live. Choose the right way. God says, why will you die? Follow me. So if you're here today and you would like to give your life to Christ, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. You're saying, I want Christ in my life. I want to invite him in today. I want him in my life. God bless you, sir, there in the balcony. I want to acknowledge your hand, and I want to pray for you. Over here. All right, God bless you. All right. You can put your hands down, and if you're online, you can pray this prayer as well. If you want to invite Christ into your life, then just pray this prayer. The thief on the cross simply said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." All you need to do is ask him. I'd like everybody, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin separates me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Very excited for you, the change that God's going to work out in your life. If you're here, we have a new believers table along the wall. We want to give you a Bible, a new believers packet. In the new believers packet, it just tells you what you do now that you made a commitment. Okay? I'm going to put a Bible in your hand so you can begin to read it. If you're online, then you can send an email to saved@calvarytucson.com. Tell us your story. Tell us what God did. And we'll have people who will respond to that. You could also send us a text, "Ready for Jesus," to 94,000. That link you get back is our new believers card. Click on that link, fill it out, and we'll have people that will get in touch with you, and we'll get you everything that we want to give you, all right? We just want to come alongside of you and make sure you come out of the starting blocks, little Olympic, you know, come out of the starting blocks, running well for Jesus Christ in this life that you're now living for him, all right? I want to pray for you guys. I want to pray tonight, obviously, about God disciplining us and the way we receive it and respond, and that we would respond positively. The Bible says, "Let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray." I'm going to ask you guys to lift up your hands made holy by the blood of the Lamb, men and women, and I'm going to pray for you. Father, I want to pray as we consider ourselves now and the discipline in our lives and the chastening. And first of all, Lord, we want to say thank you that you have chastened us and you discipline us and you will discipline us. Secondly, we want to say, Lord, that we would not become bitter, that we would not despise you because of the chastening in our lives. We know it is because you love us and because you want the best for us. We know it's because you want holiness and righteousness and you want to bless our lives and you don't want the consequences of sin to affect us. And so, Lord, I pray that we would receive it, accept it, evaluate our lives now, get it out of our lives so that we cannot be disciplined. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you be holy and righteous and blessed as God does his work in your life.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.